prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8-9-10-11-12-13-14-15-16-17-18-19-20. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment, and that's what we're going to do. And Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. All right, we are going to be talking about, in the first part of the show, how to recover from a virus in 3 days, just like Donald Trump did, President Trump. We're going to talk about that. Medical science is going to prove it. Yes, I got research. I'm going to expose it all. And we do have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking Lord's face, and I'm minding the time because it grows short. And today's devotional puts us in Matthew chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. It says, "For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's right. If you want the Lord to bless us and heal our land, our country, then seek the Lord's face, mind the time. And we got to get rid of our national sin. I want to give you time to think about that and what the national sin is. I bet you can guess it. It's one of the seven things God hates. So once we get rid of that, we're on the right track of being reconciled to the one true God. In mind the time, that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Okay, so Frank's asking, what is that one thing? And this in the seven list of seven. Well, Frank, it's shedding of innocent blood. Guess what that means? Yeah, that's what it means. All right, moving along with Quack Report. We got a couple things here. Let's see, this is some medicated chewing gum. Want to get your drugs in your gum, Frank? Well, researchers from the University of Bristol in the UK have proposed this new method of orally administering drugs by adding them to chewing gum. So researchers did a study at the Transsection of Biomedical Engineering, which involved using a robot with teeth, had actual teeth, Frank, and it could chew, and they compared it to humans that chew gum. They were watching jaw movements, and they were looking at saliva readings and all these things. And they wanted to determine, you know, if a robot did much better at deriving medicine out of the gum or did humans. Well, they really couldn't, after 20 minutes of chewing, they couldn't determine if the robot did better or the humans did better, so it was kind of a tie. So usually what they collected after the experiment was that when you chew gum, and within the first 5 to 10 minutes, you're getting all the medicine, and then you get small amounts after that. So chewing gum can deliver medicine in less than 5 minutes, 10 minutes. That's interesting. They want to medicate your gum now. What happened to Bazooka? Yeah. Well, last but not least in the Quack Report, here's a report. They're examining, they were examining the 2019 fiscal reports in all 50 states. And what they, and this is the health of our nation, financial health of our nation, okay? And what they found is out of the 50, 39 states did not have enough money to pay their bills. So the, this is the 11th edition of the financial state of the state report. And it's published by a nonprofit organization called Truth in Accounting. So the total debt among the 50 states amounted to $1.4 trillion. At the end of 2019, and they warned that this amount would still balloon due to the effects of the ongoing pandemic that we're having. So out of these, out of the 50 states, there were 11 states that were the best financially. They were able to pay their bills and pay off their debts. That was Alaska, North Dakota, Wyoming, Utah, Tennessee, South Dakota, Nebraska, Idaho, Oregon, Iowa, and Minnesota. So those are the 11 best states that were in the least amount of debt, and they're able to pay their debts, so they're able to pay it back. The five worst states out of the 39 states were New Jersey, Illinois, Connecticut, Hawaii, and Massachusetts. So they made the bottom of the 39 state list because not only can they not pay their debts, and in particular, here's an example, New Jersey, they said the taxpayers would have to pay individually each one $59,900 out of pocket to pay off their debt in the state of New Jersey. So the report found that a large portion of the debt was incurred by states that had, and it came from unfunded retirement benefit obligations. These included pension plans and retiree health care liabilities. Pension debt amounted to almost $900 billion, and other post-employment benefits racked up another $617 billion at the end of last year. Now, the Truth in Accounting report also warned that most of the states
were ill-prepared for any crisis. Now, the budget deficits in the 39 states have been uncovered. They can't deal with emergencies like, you know, act of God, storms, whatever. So 49 states require their budgets to be balanced by law. For any deficit, states would have to rely on, let's say, accounting tricks and also, you know, borrowing money from the federal government. So, but that's not good. You know, borrowing money to pay off your fiscal debt, that's not good. You know, people, average persons go to jail for that because they can't pay their bills. Anyway, so how many of those states are run by Democrats, Frank? I didn't have time to check before the show. I would say quite a few. Quite a few. Yeah, they're liberal at giving away other people's money. That's what they do. And that, I'm sorry to say, is the health of our nation and financial health. And that wraps the Quack Report. All right, Frank. What are you saying, Frank? Oh, what Frank was saying was he thought there was, yes, there's more than one national sin. Yes, Frank, yes, you're absolutely right. But that's the big one. Yeah, that you can tell the integrity of a nation by how they treat the most vulnerable of their citizens. And you can't get more vulnerable than an unborn baby. You really can't. All right, so we're going to be talking about some neat things. The media, for instance, we're going to talk about how you can recover from a virus in 3 days. Now, the media has speculated over this short stay that President Trump had at Walter Reed Hospital for treatment for the COVID-19 virus, especially, you know, when the CDC is recommending, hey, you got to be there 10 days, got to monitor you after you have symptoms manifest. Now, the president was admitted Friday evening, September 2nd, and was discharged Monday, September 5th. So just 3 nights in hospital care. So the reports that the public is receiving from the media on, you know, hospitalized COVID patients is, you know, they're going to be there at least 10 days to 3 weeks, and sometimes it may even include intensive care for really bad cases. So much to the surprise of the media, President Trump walks out of the hospital unassisted, gets into a black SUV, and goes back to the White House to go to work. So did President Trump have COVID-19? I get asked this. And how did he recover quickly? How could he recover so quickly, President Trump? We're going to check it out. Science is going to help us. Oh, yeah. So let's look at this. This is a quote from Daniel McQuillan Lehay. He's president of Infectious Disease Society of America at the Hospital Medical Care Center in Burlington, Massachusetts. He says, many of my own COVID patients were hospitalized 6 to 8 days, and it skews closer to 8-day mark, really. He says if you are, you know, older and possibly overweight, you're going to be there 8 days, he says. Biomed Central Health Services said this, the median length of stay is 5 days in the hospital for COVID-19. Okay, so 5 to 8 days is what people in the healthcare system basically are saying. Well, I guess it depends on the type of case is what they're trying to get through to us. What the medical journals are reporting is that people can manifest no symptoms, mild symptoms, or acute symptoms of COVID virus. So the degree of severity seems to be depending on several criteria. One is the individual's health, you know, the health of their immune system. Is it strong? Were they previously exposed to this virus or something similar in a virus? The individual's health overall, do they have any internal medicine diseases, which often accompanied with a lot of inflammation? And also, are they taking prescription meds? Those seem to be critical things with regard to how well you're going to do with this virus. So here's the treatment plan. Due to the HIPAA laws on the health care compliance, the public may really never know what the president's treatments entailed, but the media has listed a strong steroid drug, dexamethasone, along with maybe an unknown, possibly experimental type therapeutic. We just don't know. So the COVID-19 vaccine serum hasn't been, well, it hasn't completed the human trials, and therefore that's not available, so that wasn't used. Now, this begs the question, how did the president recover so quickly? And if he remains well with no viral symptoms, it kind of indicates the virus is not as big as a threat as it was promoted to be. Think about it. Oh, yes, he's president of the United States. He's getting the best care possible. True. But he's also older. So let's just look and see what this new study is saying. This is March 2020 University. Now, this is when the pandemic was getting going here. March 2020, University of Melbourne in Australia, in joint research with Peter Daughtry Institute for Infectious and Immunity, they published this report that suggests the average healthy adult who has COVID-19 symptoms can recover from the virus in just 3 days. Now, President Trump was in the hospital 3 nights. So the researchers observed that people of average health around 40 years of age that exhibited mild to moderate virus symptoms and who tested positive for the COVID-19 have an immune system able to overcome the infection in 3 days. Why isn't anybody reporting that? Well, we know why. So this research did get published in the March 17, 2020 Journal of Nature Medicine. Here is a quote from Dr. Anna Nguyen at Peter Daughtry Institute Infectious Disease and Immunity says, quote, 3 days after the patients were admitted, we saw large populations of several immune cells, which are often a telltale sign of recovery during influenza infections. So we predicted that the patients would recover in 3 days, which is what happened. Aha. So 3 days. Therefore, you know, since the beginning of this pandemic, actually medical science has actually known, but until recently reluctant to say, that the human immune system in healthy individuals can overcome COVID-19 in the same way it overcomes an influenza virus. So in the same way you get over the flu, you get over this. So nations do not shut down over seasonal influenza. So what we are realizing is the media was instructed to hyperinflate the seriousness of the COVID-19 along with the assistance of the WHO and the CDC, and the average physician was told how to treat the hospitalized patients, but it turned out to be the wrong protocol, decreasing the likelihood of survival. And the brave physicians that spoke out, well, they were criticized by the media. They were banned from social media, and they were expelled from the YouTube platform, and some were fired. So early on, world governments sought out the expert opinion of retired Swedish physician and virologist Johan Gazik regarding the COVID-19, and after he evaluated the global evidence, he reported that COVID-19 is a slightly more virulent influenza virus that negatively affects a minority of people. He stated the COVID-19 was so common that a majority of the world population were already exposed to it and did not fall ill. He felt that the countries that were shutting down social distancing and wearing masks was quite draconian. And he further added that in his opinion, hand washing would be far more effective. So the population of the world has been kind of played by a small but elite group of people who have control over the media and some health organizations. The virus is real, but its deadly force has been over-exaggerated, manipulated, and to produce fear and to control is for a control purpose. So I do believe that this was kind of a controlled exercise to test how obedient the masses will be under fear. So the key was a new virus that they leveraged with fear of the unknown while silencing those who knew how to successfully treat patients without risk of death. So to put it into perspective, measles is a more infectious and deadly virus infection than COVID-19, but we don't shut down a country when outbreaks of measles occur. So the reason is people are not fearful of measles. And why is that? Because there's a measles vaccine and people perceive that to be a cure. So they're not worried. Well, when you find out if you're fairly healthy, you're not going to have a problem. You're going to get over this COVID thing like you did the flu. Okay, now Milbourne did a test. What the Australian research showed also is that they looked at these blood samples from these people that they were observing, and they had developed a test, and they looked at the symptoms of COVID, and they examined the immune system response. So the patients exhibited that had mild to moderate symptoms of the virus got over it just like the average influenza. Here's a quote from Dr. Nugent again, who says, "We looked at the whole breadth of the immune system response in patients regarding COVID-19 using the knowledge we have built over many years of looking at immune responses in patients hospitalized with influenza. The average patient recovers in 3 days." And then also, this is from another physician in the study, Catherine Kazikra, a professor of laboratory head infectious disease and immunology at Peter Daughtry Institute of Infection and Immunology. And she says, "Our research has proved that even though COVID-19 is caused by a new virus, in an otherwise healthy person, a robust immune system across different cell types was associated with full clinical recovery, similar to what we see in regular flu infection." Regular flu infection. She goes on to say, "Our research pointed out some incredible steps in understanding what drives recovery from COVID-19 infection. It showed the methods in which the immune system responds and helps to see what is lacking in those who may have fatal outcomes." So they're looking to see what the difference is in the people that, you know, fall off the cliff with this virus, a minority of them, and what's the difference between their immune system and the healthy person's immune system. Well, the immune cells create chemicals, and what they do is they kill infections, they regulate an appropriate inflammatory response, they also prevent replicating of the infection, and they prevent spread of the infection. So that's what a healthy immune system does. So what they're trying to do is find the keys to COVID, and what medical physicians are finding out is that seriously ill patients with COVID virus have an immune system that's not robust. It's not really top-notch. It's not operating well. And it's an immune system that's influenced or subjected by a couple of things, and here's some of the things they think are affecting. Lack of immune support minerals like calcium and zinc. Also, immune suppression or weakness produced by inoculations, antibiotics, or other drugs. Prescription medications that tend to flush the minerals out of the system that undermine the integrity of your immune system cells, as well as vaccine-induced autoimmune disorders and chronic medical conditions that stress your immune system, your liver, and your kidneys. Okay? So patients with a lot of chronic medical conditions are usually on prescribed medicines that will deplete minerals, and your immune system requires those minerals to operate and be robust. So in particular, sorry, my phone's going off again. Sorry about that. In particular with the COVID-19, if you got a chronic health condition, you're going to have low levels of zinc. Especially if you're consuming, if you're consuming processed foods, you'll have low levels of zinc. So even if you're not taking medicine, if you're taking drugs, that can flush you of your zinc. By the way, one of the things in particular, you know, a lot of people with COVID said, remember Frank, they had a serious problem with their sense of smell and taste. Well, if you have inadequate zinc in your system, it produces that sensation of a lack of smell and taste. So you're low in zinc. That's what that means. So what about inflammation? Well, we have been kind of hearing a lot in the media reports from the medical area that those that are sick with COVID have a lot of inflammation, which is, you know, tends to worry doctors, you know, when you got a lot of inflammation. Then they give you the steroids and you give you all this other stuff to try to lower that. Well, basically, if you're taking Fosamax, that Fosamax is, you know, usually for bone health. They give it to people with bone health, for bone health. That can actually undermine your minerals and cause a lot of inflammation. So a lot of people that have inflammation, they're left out of a lot of reports with the regular influenza virus that causes inflammation as well. So if you get the regular flu, you do get inflammation. So COVID isn't anything special giving you inflammation. That's an immune system response. But if you're taking other drugs that promote or encourage inflammation, then, yeah, you're going to have a more serious inflammatory response when you get sick. Here also, stress is an indicator. Research has shown that, you know, if you're under a lot of stress, it weakens the immune system. It increases your risk of getting sick. Stress can actually further system malfunction. So, and some of the things that we're doing in our lifestyles can promote a lot more stress on the body. So if you don't get sufficient sleep, you're kind of cutting corners there. If you have digestive problems, you know, getting the minerals out of your foods, if you have a lack of appetite, that's going to affect how much nutrition you take in. If you have increased depression, people with depression usually don't eat, or they do, it's the wrong stuff. Also, the increase, you know, if you're worried or stressed or depressed, it may increase your drug, alcohol, or tobacco use. Stressful work or home environments will lower your immune system and you'll get sick more often. And also financial stress, probably a real big one, a big hit for a lot of people, causing them to get ill a lot. Well, and some of the things that get flushed out along with your zinc is your calcium. So calcium is this other nutrient that's necessary for healthy, strong immune system function. So we hear calcium is good for your bones, but rarely do we hear anything that is associated with your immune system. So the New York University School of Medicine reported in May 2016 that calcium is another key element that is vital for your body to destroy infections. So in addition to other research highlights that, you know, calcium is needed for your immune system, it's also needed to balance the immune system to also prevent autoimmune issues. So calcium is real important. I can see we got to take a little break. On the other side, you're going to find out just how vital calcium is for immune function and how you get real calcium right after this break. Be right back.
To me, you know she's happy as can be, you know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Ah. I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Go green. Herb Talk Live, green. Now with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
We're back here on Herb Talk. All right, Frank, we are continuing with our little segment here on how to recover from a virus in just 3 days. And science is confirming how President Trump did it. So the research now that we're going to look at was published May 31st, 2016 in the Journal of Immunity. And it says your immune system uses calcium with regard to the charged channel particles. So the mineral helps assist in the signals with cell membranes to help act like a flow switch for cell processes. So the calcium helps the immune system kick on to fight the infections and power down after the infection is gone. So when it does this, it initiates which type of immune cells are necessary in antibody production, such as your T cells, to be used. So the calcium influences transcription of the proteins that are helpful to block infection from replicating. Now, this research was done at the New York University Medical Center, and they discovered that without adequate calcium, the immune system struggles to produce proteins as a defense, especially for viral infections. And they also found at the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health in 2010, mind you, they were studying COVID-19 back in 2010, but their research didn't get published until 2019. They found that if you don't have the mineral zinc, also the zinc helps the immune system make a protein to coat the outer layer of your cell so that the virus can't penetrate the cell and make you sick. So calcium and zinc, vital for immune system to protect you. So important that you know that. And we're going to talk about the right kind of calcium. We're not talking about cow's milk. That's not the right kind. All right, so calcium and immune system working together. So could it be the patients that don't do well with the COVID-19 virus and they have symptoms, maybe they're depleted of nutrition like zinc and calcium. Their immune system's not robust. It's not able to fight the virus very well. And I would say, yeah, that's pretty much what I think is going on, because medicine's already published papers on that. So the presence of calcium will help the immune system regulate the signals the immune system needs to use, regulate production of the immune cells it needs to use to fight the infection, and also turn off the immune system response after the infection is gone. So very important. Here's a quote from Dr. Stefan Fisk, professor of pathology, New York University. He says, "We found that calcium signals play a vital role and keeping the immune system finely balanced, ramping response up or down at the appropriate time." Yeah. So you got to have the appropriate response at the appropriate time. Let's take some bets, Frank. What you want to bet? That the people at high risk of dying from infections, COVID-19 or any influenza, they're kind of low in immune support minerals due to their diet and prescription meds. What do you want to bet that's what it is? I'm betting it is. Based on the research I'm reading, that's what it is. So drugs that will deplete your zinc. Here's a brief list. It's not complete. Drug companies really not required to do nutrient depletion studies on their stuff. Here's a brief list. If you are taking diuretics, they actually flush minerals right out, including your zinc, right out through the urine. If you take antacids, that'll reduce your zinc. Anti-inflammatory drugs, prednisone, hydrocortisone, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, they'll deplete you of zinc in a skinny minute. If you're on anti-convulsants, anti-seizure meds, antiviral medications, if you're on those, if you're on birth control drugs, cardiovascular drugs or ulcer drugs going to reduce your zinc. And that's what the Canadian doctors said they noticed with the young people that got sick with COVID really bad. They were on blood pressure meds and they had no zinc. What are young people doing on blood pressure meds? Maybe they're overweight. Okay, so here's some of the foods that you might, and herbs that you may want to utilize for high zinc. Kelp, alfalfa, apples, beets, onions, almonds, and the highest herb that we could find with astragalus root here, indigenous in the United States, is astragalus root. Right behind it's echinacea root. Both of them are very good immune support herbs. So echinacea or astragalus. Astragalus you can take every day, high in zinc. Echinacea you want to reserve for when you're sick. Okay. Now here's some of the drugs that deplete your calcium. This is, again, a brief list. Bone density drugs, your Fosamax, Boniva, and Zometa. Your osteoporosis injection drugs like Prolia. Your drugs for kidney disease. Your anti-seizure drugs, once again, and your chemotherapy medications. So foods that are going to be high in your natural plant-based calcium, which is what the body and the immune system need, here it is, sesame seeds, millet, oats, horsetail herb, comfrey root, lobelia herb, and oat straw. So when you look at calcium in nature, everything, plants, fruits, herbs that have calcium always have the same chemistry. Two parts calcium, one part boron, one part magnesium. So the minerals need to be together for uptake and utilization so that the body can take what it needs, put it where it needs to be, and not have any residual side effects. So that's God's chemistry. Can't improve on that. Sorry. Can't. So you got some herbs for health. So, you know, as modern medicine has shown us, the COVID-19 virus is not something that we should fear more than a common flu virus. And one physician stated that we have more mortality with regular influenza with the vaccine than we do with COVID without the vaccine. So this virus is certainly not something President Trump is in fear over, and in 3 days, he's back to work at the White House. So herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. That's God out of the Holy Bible. That's Revelations 22:2. And you're going to find plant-based calcium in your calcium formula at Apothecary Herbs. They also offer the astragalus root, too. And that's got the highest zinc level in herbs, the astragalus. And they have a lot of different echinacea root formulas there as well. And they have a pandemic kit pack full of immune support formulas and also vaccine reversal options. And they also have a lot. This is all professional strength formulations for cold and flu. They have those, too. So they got options there for you. Plant-based calcium, they got the zinc, they got pandemic kits, they got cold and flu formulas. So give them a call. Their number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And local number is 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. And their address on the web is The Power Herbs, thepowerherbs.com. So get a free catalog from them. You can jump on their website and download the catalog, or you can request one to be mailed to you. They're free. And they do have free online newsletters that are very helpful, too. So they go out each week with lots of empowering information there. So do sign up for those under the Books and Newsletters tab and sign up today. You have to have email to get the newsletters. They're not snail mailed. So, all right, so we got a few minutes. We're going to be talking about our aging population, and I know that's been the topic of the COVID quite a bit in the media, you know, by the health authorities. And have you seen how people, Frank, are fed when they're in, you know, assisted living facilities or in nursing homes? They're kind of fed what I would call cafeteria food. They're fed what college students get, and they don't get anything great. They're fed hospital food, and I used to work in hospitals. So, you know, the elderly are getting a lot of overly processed, frozen, reheated type of foodstuffs. Nothing great. They may get, what's that milk drink with all the fortification in it? Oh, I can't think of it. But it's just a milk with, you know, synthetic vitamins in it. I'll think of it when I'm laying in bed tonight, Frank. Oh, can't think of it. But, you know, the synthetic vitamin thing isn't anything great. I guess it's better than nothing, but it's not whole food. It's just not. All right, let's look at our aging poor health, because a lot of reports, University of Geneva, Switzerland actually had a report on the aging population. Theirs is growing. It's growing in Japan. It's just growing, growing, growing. So they show that life expectancy has grown, but the additional years that the seniors have gained, they're saying they're not spending it in good health. Okay, so the Swiss population is growing, but it is with people they're saying are past their prime. They're not in good health, and it's kind of viewed as a liability by the government, which is not how you should look at your old citizen, your elderly citizenship. That's just not how you should view it. They're a liability. Well, the new world governing mindset, though, is that people, as they age, they need to retain a certain level of health and social productivity. They need to retain a certain validity into society as a whole, they're saying in their report. And when they don't, well, then their life value is dropping. Here we back to the social score and the life value stuff. This is where they want to take it. So we're going to take a look at the developments of what governments, you know, how they're intending to frame this debate. And, you know, what our elderly are facing with regard to devalued social scores. Okay. This is just this pretty much despicable, you know. But, you know, they're looking at the elderly as an albatross around their neck. Certain vectors, so in the case of the Swiss, they're saying the older population there, they find there's a segment of society that aren't aging well, who have no post-high school education. They have inadequate funds to pay for a lot of what their health care costs are. So in Switzerland, they have this universal health care that's regulated by the Swiss federal law. So this means that the Swiss are mandated to have private health insurance the moment they are born, and anyone staying 3 months or longer in their country, they're also required to pay into this insurance plan that's regulated by the Swiss federal law government. So it's kind of like private health insurance, but somebody else is, you know, third party's regulating it. So the Swiss Health Survey, an international journal of public health, said this: life expectancy in Switzerland has been growing steadily for decades, but the extended years are not spent in good health, and ills are prolonged in our aging population. So let's look at the snapshot from the Swiss stats, what they're saying. So if you are probably, you're kind of probably wondering, you know, why worry? Why should we worry what goes on in Switzerland? Well, it's, you know, like the bad apple in the barrel. It's going to corrupt the rest. This is, you know, the world's a small place, okay? Switzerland is a country that can, you know, their thinking and their way can corrupt the rest of the world. So you'll want to keep an eye on the countries of the European Union. Switzerland is part of the European Union. They're part of the European Free Trade Association, and they are participating in negotiating the European Economic Area Agreement with the European Union political arena. So they can put a lot of political pressure on. They can modify not only their country laws, but they can influence modifying country laws of other countries. They can help mold and change the landscape of a country this way. So according to the Swiss Health Survey, between 1990 and 2015, life expectancy changed. Women live nearly 10 years longer, and men live 4 years younger. So, you know, what's wrong with prolonging morbidity? What's wrong with that? So what the government officials and the health authorities are looking at with regard to life expectancy is, are your extended years, is it time well spent? Are you in good health? Or are you prolonging the development of your morbidity and, you know, piling on a lot of medical debt? Which is it, right? So, sort of sounds like a medical landlord, doesn't it? You know? Here's what Adrian Riemond, he's with the Institute of Demographics and Socioeconomic at Jung School of Social Sciences. He goes, do we really want to see our seniors spending more years in poor health before they finally die? Wow. So the governments and the medical sciences are asking the question, how do we determine when is life not fit to be living or worth living anymore, and what should be done about it? Now, we've been having this euthanasia bait for decades, right? We've had some states, you know, and people get into hot water over this kind of thing. But the Swiss government is tracking 11 million of their senior citizens regarding this exact issue. They want, you know, statistics to back up their argument. So they're tracking their senior citizens. They're collecting data on them for a minimum of 25 years. So if the average person lives to be 75, you know, they're starting to track them in their 50s. So if you want to control more of your population, well, they appear to be looking at the most vulnerable first, the elderly, the socioeconomic challenged. And this is going to help their statistical argument. So the Swiss Health Survey is taken in over there about every 5 years. According to Michael Orris, he's a professor at the Institute of Demographics and Socioeconomic Studies, he says, quote, we've been analyzing over 25 years of data, tracking over 11 million people, including migratory movements, and over 1.5 million deaths to ascertain how many years of healthy life expectancy the Swiss population has gained. So you see, this is not just an individual thing anymore. This is about the Swiss people. This is about this, the government. This is about this entity. So you're not an individual person just living out your days, right? They want to see what the Swiss population gains with you going through and taking your last breath. Did they gain or did they lose? And they're gonna have algorithms and protocols and scores and to see where you fit. And if you're gonna cost the Swiss government losses instead of gains, then guess what? Well, you know, it's time you have to go. According to the research at the University of Geneva, Switzerland, they put together out of an additional 10 years that women pick up in their life expectancy, only 3 years of that 10 is considered healthy ones. So here we have women living 10 years longer than men. Now they're saying only 7 of them are worth anything. So the extra 4 years that four years that men may gain, they're saying none of them are considered healthy ones, so men aren't gaining a thing. So they also mentioned no surprise, Swiss men and women who have higher education did live longer and healthier than those who had not had a college education. Well, you know, if you're pulling more income, if you can save more, if you can put more away for retirement, yeah, you probably can afford better care. So more income does help improve your health status and, of course, your value and your gain to the Swiss population and community. Yep, that's what that means. And those with college educations lived, on average, they say 3 to 5 years longer. So the lower income families, they say, will sacrifice seeing their doctors because they don't have any money. They may opt out of their screenings because they don't have any money to pay for it, even though the government's supposed to. So in Switzerland, screenings are really not covered by the mandated private insurance. Overall, they're not. But they should be since they're taking all your money. Therefore, the study is suggesting that when there is less prevention care by the individuals, they're not getting their medicine, it decreases their life expectancy, their value, and it deteriorates their health rapidly. So your economic status is going to determine your population gain or loss as well. See, they're going to have all these statistics, these categories, these algorithms to give you a score. So there has also been some significant shift in attitude regarding euthanasia. So this is kind of a global development, and parts of Europe have already started to change their policies and laws regarding ending a person's life. So we are now seeing hospitals and lawmakers in Canada and also in the United States discuss changing the strict existing laws on euthanasia. So the Swiss have always had strict laws against euthanasia. However, when the situations come down to finances, it can actually push even the most staunch lawmakers in the other direction. Right? Now here's the Massachusetts Medical Society. The medical heavyweights at the Massachusetts Medical Society are bent on rescinding the restrictions on euthanasia laws. In September 2018, they held a meeting and voted regarding euthanasia for end-of-life care. Now, keep in mind, this is just their policy and not their legislative law, but this is the first step to help pressure politicians to make changes to current laws. So Vermont's Medical Society has also taken this stance. So Vermont passed the Death with Dignity Bill in 2013 to allow physicians to prescribe the terminally ill lethal doses of drugs to end their patient's life. California, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, and Washington, D.C. also have similar laws. Montana does allow euthanasia through their state Supreme Court. So Massachusetts Medical Society said this, the society has rescinded its long-held opposition to doctor-assisted suicide and have adopted a neutral engagement position. This is done to more effectively engage with lawmakers in the legislative debate with legality of euthanasia in the state. So you see what they're doing? So what we're witnessing is this major shift to drop the formal ethical positions on euthanasia, and this push is sponsored by greed, basically, and convenience. So medical insurance companies and other industries that stand to profit can actually utilize lobbyists to help change these laws on euthanasia as well. So they're going to be calculating the value of life. So we find that modern society enacts laws that prevent the beginning of life with abortion and now creating legal ways to cut life short with euthanasia. Now, in 2016, Medscape reported that 57% of the U.S. medical physicians think changing the restrictions on euthanasia is a good thing. In 2015, the Gallup poll survey of the general public showed that they were supportive of euthanasia by 68%. An interesting quirk, though, is that the American College of Physicians is opposed to medically assisting in euthanasia. But how long will they take that stand is a guess due to the American Medical Association was ordered by its Judicial Council of Ethical Affairs to look into making changes to the policy and the laws with their physicians. A little marching order there. So according to the New England Journal of Medicine, the rate of euthanasia in the United States from 2007 to 2013 went from 1.9% to 4.6%. So the percentage of granted requests is 76.8%. And in October 2017, Cambridge University analyzed the cost of healthcare compared to euthanasia and found that the critically ill patients' cost for care and benefit, citing like $82,845 to maybe almost $200,000, that was what was in addition to their life care. So, see, they're coming back to the finances again. What's it worth to us to keep you alive? And it's not about, you know, God decides when to call you home. It's about when the government wants to send you home, literally. So the changing laws put everyone at risk of physician-assisted suicide or euthanasia, that it can become a non-voluntary, like, thing. Like it's like what's happening in the Netherlands. Sad. In the Netherlands, euthanasia has kind of taken this dark turn. The non-voluntary patients, like children and the dementia, mentally ill, they're all on the chopping block for ending their lives. You know, it's all. It's not. You know, I don't care what you label it. What is it really? You know them by their fruits. You know. And I can see by the clock I'm out of time. So take care of yourselves out there. Do your due diligence. Investigate all the medical treatments recommended to you before you do them. Investigate. And call the folks at Apothecaribs. Get their free catalog at 866-229-3663. You may find a solution in there for an everyday problem. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. So the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.